Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
When Dulce Sloan has something to say, we let her say it. In another episode of Dulcein.
Hip hop. It's how we know what bottles to pop and what luxury items we can't afford. And we've been living in a golden era of female rappers, with legends like Missy Elliott, Lil' Kim, and Lauryn Hill. Not to mention Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B dancing with a certain African who misplaced my ticket to the Grammys. But did you know that female rappers have been huge in every era? Every era? That didn't work. It's true. Rap's history is full of women who have largely been forgotten, like Sylvia Robinson, the woman who helped create hip hop. Sylvia was a singer, record producer, label executive, and the first person to rock the Pharrell hat. She took rap from little-known basement parties in the Bronx to worldwide commercial success in 1979 by conceiving and producing rap's first hit record, Rapper's Delight. Not only was it the first rap single to conquer the charts, it also sold over 1 million copies. That's right, it went platinum. And back then, we didn't even know what that was. They had to whip out a periodic table. And women were all over hip-hop's early era. Like MC Sha-Rock, aka Sharon Green. She got her start in the South Bronx rapping at parties, which was tough. Not just because no one had heard a woman rapping before, but also because the dude at the party with an acoustic guitar is gonna be pissed. We hate that guy. In 1979, MC Sha-Rock's group, the Funky Four Plus One, became the first rap group to sign with the record label, making her the first female rapper to record a song. Not only that, their performance on Saturday Night Live was also the first ever national TV appearance by any rappers. And rapping in a group is great for a female MC, because when the man repeats what you just said but slightly louder, he's not being sexist, he's being a good hype man.
Being a good hype man.
See? Women weren't just part of rap's birth, they also invented the rap beef.
The rap beef.
Okay, that's enough. The first ever official rap beef was known as the Roxanne Wars, which centered around Lolita Shantae Gooden. She got her start battling traveling MCs at just 14 years old, like a cross between 8 Mile and Dora the Explorer. The beef started in 1984 when the group UTFO released a song called Roxanne, Roxanne, about a woman who had spurned their romantic advances. While Shantae was walking to the laundromat, her neighbor and record producer, Marley Marl, asked her to rhyme over a beat. So she recorded a track in his living room called Roxanne's Revenge, where she roasted every member of UTFO. The track was a monster hit, selling 250,000 copies in New York City alone. UTFO was so stung from getting dissed by a teenage girl, they decided to fire back at Shantae with an answer track called The Real Roxanne, which I understand. You're supposed to be tough, but a kid dismantled you? And she did it in between errands. Her to-do list was groceries, laundry, destroy a group of grown men, and walk the dog. From there, the so-called Roxanne Wars truly ignited, because other artists joined in. When it was all done, some 87 Roxanne tracks had been released. It was like a rap Gettysburg, but instead of the battlefield being covered in blood, it was covered in grown men's feelings. And we couldn't talk about women in hip-hop without talking about how they influenced the social consciousness in rap. Take MC Light, one of the earliest known conscious rappers. Her first song at the age of 16 was about the prevalence of drugs in her neighborhood and how that ruined her love life. And I could relate. At 16, my love life was ruined by Brandon, lying about what type of bike he was picking me up on. I thought he had a Harley. Turns out he had a Huffy. And that brings us to our final female pillar and hip-hop pioneer, Queen Latifah. I don't know if it's appropriate, I just like to do it. To some, she's Khadijah from Living Single. To others, she's Mama Morton in Chicago. But she's without a doubt one of the most unforgettable hip-hop artists in rap history. But remember, hip-hop is a lot like your uncle. Fun, a little dangerous, and incredibly misogynistic. But Queen Latifah burst onto the rap scene with the pro-woman message. Her song, Ladies First, showed off not only her lyrical prowess, but also uplifted women and name-checked other female MCs. She was shouting out more women than Mambo No. 5. Then in 1993, her song called UNITY called out men in hip-hop for referring to women as bitches and hoes.
Bitches and hoes. That's my bad, I got caught up. I can see why I shouldn't have said that. I'ma just leave.
Queen Latifah had 99 problems and the word bitch was all 99. That women empowerment anthem became a hit and made Queen Latifah the first woman to win Best Rap Solo Performance at the Grammys. How do you like that, bitches? So the next time you think about hip-hop icons, make sure you remember the Young Shorties, the Bad Honeys, and the All-Stars. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to record my own response to Roxanne. It's called, Roxanne, give me back my man. He wasn't cheating. She just kidnapped him. Snatched him right off his Huffy.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Same bullshit as always, Trevor. Female candidates get covered less like politicians and more like Miss Universe contestants. How does she smile? Does she look good in a dress? Will Steve Harvey get her name right?
Yeah, but why do you think the media has this double standard in politics?
Politics? Negroes, this double standard is everywhere. Have you not been paying attention to this wet-ass pussy controversy?
Oh, you mean like why Kylie Jenner was in the video?
No, ain't nobody talking about that goofy ass. Girl, you silly man. No, I'm not talking about the song. I'm talking about why people are talking about the song. Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion have given us a sex positive song of the summer, celebrating women owning their sexuality. Something men have been doing since Adam ate that apple in the Garden of Eden and got his first boner.
Dulce, I don't remember that part in the Bible.
The point is, male musicians talk about sex all the time, talking about their hard dicks and skeeting everywhere. But when women do it, people are like, this is vulgar, inappropriate. What about the children that look up to them? Who cares about them damn children? Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion are not your nannies. I know it's confusing. You see two women of color in a really nice house, and you assume Aiden and Mackenzie are just off screen with their Mandarin tutor. But it's a huge double standard, Trevor.
Okay, Dulce, but to play devil's advocate, you have to admit, it's a really graphic song.
Trevor, only in a repressed, patriarchal society would people consider a woman's pleasure graphic. Men don't have to censor their pleasure. Drake and Bruno Mars can sing about eating pussy and getting hard, but they still get invited to Thanksgiving dinner. But if Cardi B does it, she's a slut who's taking down society.
Well, you know, there is another thing. I mean, there's something about rap that as soon as some white people hear it, it sounds graphic, you know, just because it's rap. Like, I could be like, it's really cool to stay in school. And then some white people would be like, whoa, 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 calm down, sir. You know, so there's always a chance that the problem wasn't the message as much as the fact that it's hip hop.
Okay, first of all, don't ever do that again. Listen, that was offensive for a whole different reason.
No, no, I was just trying to show like when you say something with the flow, how it goes.
No, whatever it was, stop, okay? The point is, we don't live in a society that's comfortable with women claiming their sexuality. It doesn't matter if it's rap or country. I bet if it was a country music star that sang the same lyrics, all these men would still be upset.
I don't know. I don't know about that, Dulce. Like, I feel like now you're turning it into like a hypothetical argument. Oh, what people's reaction would be if a country music star sang the song. Like, we don't know.
No, you don't know. But I called my girl, Margo Price, who's a Grammy-nominated country star, to help me prove my point. Come on, Margo, take it away.
Look, I need a hard hit, I need a deep stroke, I need a heavy check, I need a weed smoker, not a garter snake, I need a king cobra, put a hook in it, open, lean over, it's got some water, baby, that's where I'm headed, pussy ain't warm, baby, just like his credit.
See how they like that one, Dulce.
Damn, Dulce, that was actually amazing. I mean, it's still graphic, but that was amazing. How did you get Margo Price to do that?
You don't know me, Trevor. You think I spend all day sitting at home organizing my closets? I'm doing things, baby. Which reminds me, I gotta find something that starts with G. Bye!
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
My guest tonight is Grammy Award-winning singer, songwriter, and actor, Mary J. Blige. She's here to talk about her new documentary that explores her early days in the music industry and the making of her iconic 1994 sophomore album, My Life. Mary J. Blige, welcome to the Daily Social Distancing Show.
Thank you.
Wow, there are a few people I get to interview or get to speak to who have made more of an impact, not just in a genre or in music, but in society. You are a soundtrack to periods of time. You are a soundtrack to emotions and feelings that human beings have experienced over many, many, many years. I mean, you know, with 8 multi-platinum albums, with 9 Grammy Awards, with 2 Oscar nominations, the list is endless. You are truly the queen. And now, for the first time ever, we get to see you telling your story in a way that we never have before. My Life, the documentary, Mary J. Blige. Why the story and why now?
Well, about 2 years ago, the whole world was celebrating the 25th anniversary of the My Life album. People were giving testimonies online and, you know, people, I was running into people and, you know, the whole thing about, you know, this album saved my life again was coming back up again. So it was time. And I felt like it was important to do it years later, you know, on the 25th anniversary, especially, you know, Nas and I both were on the royalty tour and he was celebrating his 25th anniversary of the Illmatic.
Right, right, right.
It was just so special. Like, it was just time. It was just time to tell the story because I'm coming from a place of strength now. So now I can go back and revisit and, okay, it's going to hurt and all of that stuff, you know, to revisit all those painful times. But I'm strong enough now because I've been through so much hell that I can talk now.
It's really interesting that you bring that up because for many people, that's what My Life was. What you were talking about was less of a facade. It was, this is my life. This is my pain. This is what I'm going through. Looking back on it now, do you think that was cathartic for you as a person? Or do you think it made you relive the pain constantly as you were singing those songs?
It was both because I didn't know how to get out of the pain, you know, but it was something I had to do in order to start the healing process with, you know, without even knowing I was healing. So just, you know, putting my pain out there and stuff like that was like a cry for help. And then when all the fans responded, it was like, oh, wow, now it's a responsibility subconsciously because I can't do anything for you because I'm still in pain. I'm still in hell. So it did so many things that I didn't know it was doing, you know, because while I was in it, it was dark, it was suicide, it was all types of stuff. But then the fans were like, it's saving my life. And now when I look back, like years later, I'm like, wow, I didn't know I did so much.
Yeah, you know, I would love everyone to watch this documentary because what you do is you strip away all of the facades. You show us what went into Mary J. Blige, My Life, in a way that I don't think we ever, ever would have thought. I mean, you show us your journey growing up, you know, struggling through poverty. We see your life when drugs become a big hindrance in your world. We see you going through a world of domestic abuse. We see all of these things happening to you as Mary J. Blige. And it's hard to believe that you survived. Was there a time when you didn't think that you would see the other side?
Yeah, during the My Life album, I didn't think I was going to make it. During the Share My World album, I didn't think I was going to make it, but I stopped thinking about it after a while. And I just kept self-medicating, trying to check out, you know, and it wasn't until the No More Drama album where it was like, okay, I'm tired of feeling like this. I hate feeling like I hate myself. I hate feeling like I want to commit suicide. Now I don't want to die, but I don't know how to stop doing this. I don't know what to do. But that was the point where I spoke and said, enough. And that was a decision that was made. And so I had to choose life. I chose life. And I think I chose life, you know, over my, for my fans as well, because I said, if I check out, I'm going to take a bunch of people with me because these fans are so diehard. So I chose my life and I chose my fans.
Everyone has a different moment when they find that joy, when the trajectory of their lives changes from pain, trauma, and suffering. And it doesn't switch overnight, but there's just a turn. And I'd love to know what that turn was for you and what that moment was that changed Mary J. Blige's life and just took you to a world of healing and starting to live a completely different life.
Well, from 1994 to 2016, I've been going through hell. It's been all over the news. Everything's, you know, divorce, public, everything. 2016 came, I got out of the divorce. And that's when I was like, enough. I've done something great. I'm beautiful. I'm strong. I'm going to take my flowers now. I'm going to speak to myself in the morning about, you know, positivity and, you know, loving myself and finally finding myself, not things, because sometimes we, you know, when we're younger, we look at things as success,
right.
But things are not success. Success is when you can enjoy the things. You know, and now I could finally enjoy the things and enjoy my life and not feel like I'm in prison and in hell and take responsibility for what I did to put myself there.
Wow.
You know, Yeah, so that's the biggest thing, just taking responsibility for you. And then all of that stuff will come out on the outside of you.
You gave so much to your fans, but there's no doubt that you also gave so much to hip hop as an industry, just as a concept. You know, now you hear hip hop everywhere. There was a time when hip hop had one of the worst stigmas attached to it. And I know a lot of record executives back in the day didn't want hip hop associated with R&B. They didn't want hip hop in any sort of mainstream music. But you fought to have it, not once, not twice, not three times, but on every single song on that album. What was it about hip hop that Mary J. Blige loved so much that made you go, you know what? I want to give hip hop a platform in my album, in my world.
Well, because growing up in the inner cities and in the projects, hip hop gave us a voice. Hip hop gave us an identity. It spoke our pain, you know.
Right.
Every rapper, you know, it gave us something to dance to. It gave us something to feel swaggy to have attitude, to have to just, you know, wear all of our chains and all of our jewelry and be proud of who we were growing up, you know, in the inner cities. And, you know, and that's, you know, hip hop won me my first Grammy. You're All I Need was my first Grammy ever. And I was proud of that. And I'm proud to be the queen of hip hop soul, because hip hop has given me from the first time I heard the Funky Four Plus One More and the Sugar Hill Gang. Like, I was a little girl. You know, it gave me something. It gave us attitude. It gave us dimension. It just gave us, you know, the shit that we have.
Yeah, it feels like you're on a different journey, and it feels like the moniker of queen is going to just move from one industry to another. I mean, you are the queen of hip-hop soul, you are the queen of R&B, and now every time we see you on screen, it feels like it's only a matter of time before we also go, no, Mary J. Blige is also the queen of Hollywood. Because I mean, two Oscar nominations is no joke in anybody's career, and now the movie Respect is going to be coming out. You once again, I mean, every time you're on screen, there is something that you give to the audience that goes beyond just the acting. And I would love to know from your side, where do you think that love of acting came from? And what do you think it is about acting that you so seamlessly, and maybe it's not seamless, but it seems so seamlessly slide into, and it just seems like it is you.
Well, when I was a little girl, I was put in a school play, a Christmas play, by my music teacher, and I did really well. And that was the word in school. Wow, Mary did really well. But that was something I had to leave, because living, you know, where we lived, you know, you couldn't just be happy about anything.
Right.
So I leave that there. And then when I got in the music business, it came back again. The Jamie Foxx show was offered to me, and I played Ola May, and I think it was 1996 or something like that. And then Strong Medicine came, and everybody, you know, saw that, you know, I could act, and I was like, oh, I guess I can. So I'm gonna keep trying. So I just kept pushing for things that would challenge me. Although I was still singing, that's what I did. I wanted to do that. I always wanted to act, you know, as a little girl. And so when it came to me as a woman, I was like, let me go for this. And I went for it. And when I got the two Oscar nominations, it scared the hell out of me, because I was just going to do a movie and put all my pain on the table. And I didn't know it was going to come back into Oscar nominations. So people believe in me now. Now I got to work harder, you know, at the craft. So it's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, as a fan, as just one of the millions and millions and millions of fans, I just want to say thank you for being a soundtrack to our lives. Thank you for finding your joy on the other end of that story, because all too often, some of our favorite artists never get to reap the rewards of all the things that they've helped create. So We applaud you. We salute you. Congratulations on when you win the Oscar. It's inevitable. It's just going to happen. So I'll congratulate you now, because I don't know when I'll see you again.
Thank you.
Mary J. Blige, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Explore more shows from The Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.